Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the faith you've given us, and thank you for all that you do for us. Please bless this money so that we'll go to your church, and please be with us throughout this week. And I love you, Lord, and Jesus, when I pray, amen.
Good morning, everyone. I think I was just up here. Okay, so we're going to have a couple things I want to just kind of bring up. We're going to be having a couple of scriptures from Isaiah for our call to worship. But before I do that, I hope that everybody had a real good experience on Thanksgiving with their families, and that we were able to recognize the blessings that each of us do have. Obviously, as we could see from the announcements, that there's always needs, that there's always going to be people that have special consideration. But nevertheless, we do have great blessings in which we could be thankful for. Hope that each of you were able to spend quality time with your families and loved ones during this time that we were able to be together. And so it's in the spirit of that we're going to continue in the spirit of thanksgiving for this service today. Thankful that Nathan is safely back with us from his experiences, and we look forward to being able to have him share with us. So basically today we've got 70. Nathan Shearer's going to be bringing our message today. Josiah Bates will be bringing our benediction. I'm filling in for Justin Smith, who is not able to be here today, and my name's Paul Williams. So let's read together for those who would like to follow along. I have one scripture out of Isaiah 48, and it's verse 17. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou should goest. And also chapter 49 of Isaiah, starting with verse 8 through 16. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritage. That thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth, to them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor the sun smite them. For he hath mercy on them, shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. And I will make all thy mountains a way, and my highway shall be exalted. Behold, there shall come from far and low, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord hath comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have any compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet I will not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. What great blessings and comfort that we're able to receive from the Lord. And we look forward to being able to share together. Thankful that Kathy is in a position to play for us today. And I just want to add that that for those that want to go ahead and write this down, our closing hymn, it's not on the bulletin, but our closing hymn will be 241. And I'll definitely go ahead and mention it again at the end of the service. But we're thankful that we're able to spend time together. We look forward to the ministry that Nathan will provide, the information that he will be given to us. So let's stand together and sing hymn number 39. We'll stand for this, and then I'll give the opening prayer. 39. Father, we are indeed grateful that we could be together as a family, thankful for all those who are able to come, thankful for the time in which we were able to celebrate Thanksgiving with our families, to be able to have some time in which we could focus upon the many blessings that you did give us. We are thankful that we're able to be here, thankful for the hour in which we were able to study the Word together, and now we would pray that you would bless our unified efforts. That those who have come to hear shall hear, and those who have come knocking shall have the door open unto them. Pray that you would be with our brother Nathan, that you will bless him with clarity of purpose, that the experiences in which he has just received would be clear and crisp in his mind, that he would be able to share with us those testimonies and deliver the words which you had given him today. Thankful for all of our efforts, from the least unto the greatest, and pray that it would all be for the purpose of giving you honor and glory on this beautiful day. And we do pray this in the beloved name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
I'd like to start off by reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 5, and I will read 15 through 18. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I give unto you to be the salt of the earth. But if the salt shall lose its savor, wherewith shall this earth be salted? The salt shall thenceforth be good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I give unto you to be the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Behold, do men light a candle and put it under a bushel? Nay, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Therefore, let your light so shine before this world that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven.
It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High.
Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men.
O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things.
Praises to our God. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving.
Praise him in the heavens. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him for his excellent greatness.
Thank you, Lord. great pleasure to be here today with all of you. As was said earlier, I just spent 2 weeks in Santiago, Chile area, and I was down there with Frank Fry, and I just got back this past Wednesday, so a lot of fun things going on down there. But just to give you a little background of what Chile is like and what's going on there, Chile is on the west coast of South America. The north of it is Peru, on the east of it is Argentina. They say that when God made Chile, he took everything that was left over and just threw it and made Chile that way, because they've got everything. They've got the desert on the north, and I mean, it goes all the way down almost to to Antarctica, and so it's really cold in the south, and they've got forest. It's very easy to tell where you are in Chile, because if you look, and if there are mountains with snow on them, that's the east. Those are the Andes. On the west, it's the mountains with no snow, and that goes to the coast. So it's very easy to tell where you are, because you can always tell by if there's snow on the mountains or if there's not snow on the mountains. But Chile is a very long and slender country. And it's basically just one highway that goes down the middle of Chile, and everything's just built along that highway. And so our saints are spread out. Most of our saints are in the Santiago, Chile area, which is pretty close to the middle of the country. Climate's a lot like ours, except for right now it's springtime, and so they're beginning to harvest winter wheat and plant their crops and those types of things. So their climate's a lot like ours, except for backwards. Now, in the Santiago area, it's a kind of an arid area. But what they do, it's a very fertile area, but what they do is they've got a huge irrigation system that they bring water down from the mountains. And that's how they water their plants, and that's how they becomes a fruitful area there, is through irrigation. Now, the political system, they've got three political parties. They've got the Communist Party, the Socialist Party, and then a party that's similar to our Democrats. And so things are really expensive in Chile. Like a gallon of gas costs $6.08. And all the highways are toll roads. And so it's really expensive to travel around. Now, our saints are, like I said, are all in the Santiago, Chile area, in the suburbs of the area. Most of them are suburbs. And it's like in a big loop around Chile. And so it's about an hour to get from one place to the other. Any place you go to visit, it'd be about an hour to get there, just because travel is not always, they're just a lot far away from each other. But I want to start by telling you a little bit about where we were first. And I was down there with Frank Fry. And the first part we were in a city called Peñaflor. And the Bates, Jonah and Micah have been to Chile, but they didn't have the opportunity to go to Peñaflor. When we were, Gary Metzger and I first went down to Chile a year ago in March. And when we were there at that time, we were only there for like 48 hours. So we weren't there for very long. But at that time, we basically had two elders and two members. And then, you know, later on, they began to, you know, talk to other people, and there were a few baptisms. And one of the people that came on board afterwards was another elder, and he lives in Peñaflor. And he used to be a counselor to the stake in the Mormon Church. And one day he was, now Peñaflor has a population of about 90,000. They've got a pretty big Mormon population there. And one day he was on the internet, and he was in a discussion group about the Book of Mormon, and somebody began to share with him and said, hey, there are other groups out there that believe in the Book of Mormon. And so because of that, he began to study and began to find out who these other groups were that believed in the Book of Mormon. And he got in contact with the Community of Christ Church, and became a member of the Community of Christ Church, left his spot in the Mormon Church. And there's a Community of Christ 70 that lives in Santiago, Chile. And so he joined the church and was all excited. And he came up to conference in, I don't remember what year, 2005, somewhere around that time period, and got to see the center place and was all excited about everything. And that was the year that the Community of Christ Church brought to the table about doing away with the Book of Mormon. And so he was a little bit disheartened by that. And he talked to the 70 in charge of Santiago, and he's like, what are we going to do if they do this? And the 70 goes, whatever they do, you know, if they ever drop the Book of Mormon, we're leaving. And so, you know, they went on and they got back to Santiago, Chile, and they started meeting with the other evangelical groups in the area. And, you know, the evangelical group said, you know, we can't meet with you if you guys believe in the Book of Mormon. And the 70 in charge is like, okay, that's fine. We'll just drop the Book of Mormon. And so, you know, the Community of Christ Church in Santiago, Chile, stopped preaching the Book of Mormon. And so there were several members that came out of that group. And so just imagine where we were 25 years ago. That's where the Peñaflor group is right now. You know, there's a lot of hurt. They've been hurt by, you know, the Mormon Church. They've been hurt by the Community of Christ Church. And so there's a lot of healing going on there. But there's a lot of exciting things going on there. In that area, we have about 7-8 members. And then there's several non-members that are meeting with them as well. In that group are the elder that is there. He has a radio program. Now, in Peñaflor, there are about 90,000 people that live in Peñaflor. And there are about 20,000 people that listen to this radio program. And, you know, he's talked about the radio station that he's on is a Christian radio station. So he just uses the Bible when he talks about, when he has discussions. And a lot of people are starting to ask questions because what he's preaching isn't necessarily what the rest of the churches in the area are preaching. And so it's creating a lot of excitement and a lot of questioning. How the radio program is working is basically, you know, we have our elder that is the one in charge of the radio program. And then there is an elder in a Protestant church that was interested in the gospel. And so he asked him to come on. And so basically what the radio program is our elder teaching this Protestant elder about the gospel. And so it's a neat experience for everybody else that's listening to hear the, you know, the discussions that they have and, you know, how it works out. And several months ago, they had a discussion about tithing and how tithing should be 10% of your increase. And they had a discussion about priesthood and how priesthood shouldn't be paid. And so that was an eye-opener for that community. And the person that's in charge of the all the evangelical churches in that community called them. And he said, because of what you preach today, I'm going to sue you. And I'm going to make sure that you're ruined. And so he was concerned. Well, so he left it in the Lord's hands. And less than 6 months later, that individual was in prison. And so God took care of him and made sure that he wasn't in the way of the work going forward. But there's a lot of exciting things going on in that area, even though, you know, they have been hurt, and even though that, you know, they are new to the restoration, so to speak. But you have a group of people that are small, that are about 7 or 8 people. And, you know, we'll have a couple of baptisms probably before the end of the year in that group. But yet, that group is known to their entire community. So even though they're a small group of about 8 people, that whole city of 90,000 people knows who they are because they have been an example to those around them. Another group that we have is closer into Santiago, and there are about 3 in that group. We only have one that's been baptized, but you know, we have an individual who was also another counselor to the stake president of the Mormon Church that was in that group. And we have a couple of members, and they're excited about the gospel, and they're excited about, you know, what the gospel has to offer. And what they see coming out of the Mormon Church is they see all these doctrines about, you know, these temple ordinances and how to become gods, and they see a gospel that's really, or the gospel that they came out of is really focused on the individual. And focused on how do I become a god, or how do I obtain, you know, whatever it is that I'm trying to obtain. And they're seeing a gospel that's based on how do I help those around me? How do I make sure that those around me have their needs are met as well? and not just my own needs. And so they're really excited about the prospect of that. Now, there's no priesthood in that area, and like I said, there's only three that are there. And then we have an elder that he has a daughter that lives near that area, so he's kind of taking care of that area as well. But he's also trying to take care of another area, and this is in Rakongwa. And Rakonga is where the Bates spent a lot of time. They had a couple baptisms there. And so this elder is trying to take care of these two areas. Now, in Rakonga, there are about 12 people that attend church in Rakongwa. One of the men that the Bates baptized, Jimmy, has kind of taken charge of that area. And so that's probably the largest group that we have in Chile. And like I said, there are about 12 that are going to church there. But they don't have a priesthood member that's in charge of that area. I mean, they have a priest member that visits once in a while when he can, but he can't be there all the time. Now, in Rakonga, we did have an elder that was there all the time. And a little bit less than a year ago, his wife passed away. And, you know, her and a lot of her family were church members. And so it was really hard on the church. It was really hard on that area. It was a branch at that time, that area. And because of her death, you know, the elder that was in charge, you know, he went through a lot. And it was really hard on him. And he, you know, questioned a lot of things. But, you know, through a lot of prayer and through everybody else working with him and discussing with him, you know, he's began to heal from those wounds. But the congregation, the saints there still have, you know, some of those wounds of a loss of a very important person in their congregation or in their group. Well, because his wife passed away, he had to move closer to Santiago and get a different job there, and he's living with his two sons there. And so that's why, you know, that area now no longer has a priesthood member in charge of it. So that area is continuing to grow. While I was there, we weren't able to meet with him. So Frank is going to stay until December the 5th, so he's supposed to hopefully be able to meet with them and help work that area out and help make sure that their needs are met. One of the other areas we went to was, it was up north, let's see, northwest of the city. And in that area, we have another ex-Mormon. He was a very successful missionary in the Mormon Church. Has a very strong testimony in the Book of Mormon. And then when he came back off from mission, he became very active in his stake and was very influential and a lot of people becoming baptized. And so through his contacts with the other people, the Bates met with him once, through his contacts with some of the other church members, he's become very interested in the gospel and very interested in becoming baptized and starting the work up in that area as well. Now, right now, he's meeting with about 8 different people up there. None of them are baptized yet. So Frank has been working with, well, we met with him a couple of times while we were there. And then Frank's continuing to meet with that area as well. And then the last area we were was down in the southeast corner of the Santiago area. And in that area, we have 4 members. One of them is an elder. And that was the first person that contacted us. His name is Reynaldo Hernandez. And it was, he contacted us about January, February time period of 2010. Yeah, 2010. And so that's what caused Frank and I to go down there. And then he, through Facebook, messaged out that, hey, I'm having 2 people from the United States come and talk to me about the church. Does anybody else want to meet with them? And that, then from there, we're able to get 2 more contacts, since we were able to meet with 3 elders in the Community of Christ Church at that time. And then 2 of them, you know, joined us, and then one of them had baptized 2 other people. So that was where we started out. We started out with 4 people in that area, 2 elders and 2 members. And from that, it spread all over Santiago, Chile. And so now, right now, we've gone from 4 members, 2 of which are elders, to 34 people that we're meeting with all over that area. And so the work, and that's just a little over a year's time period. And so the work is really starting to grow in a very fast way. Now, in Chile, 80% of the population is Catholic. And so it's a lot like, you know, Mexico. I think Mexico's in the 90s, that's Catholic. And so there's a very large Catholic population. But there's also a very large Mormon population. They actually have a temple there in Santiago, Chile. But, you know, the Mormons do a great job of telling about the Book of Mormon, great job of, you know, the Joseph Smith story and our early history. But what happens is 90% of the people that become baptized leave. And why is that? You know, as they get into the Mormon church and they begin to realize some of the doctrines, you know, a lot of the people that we met with, you know, they were part of the Mormon church, but when they started realizing, okay, I know I can't become a god. They started realizing, you know, these things that they were doing in the temples weren't necessarily what the scriptures talked about. A lot of these people left. And so there's a lot of work to do there. And there's a lot of potential for that area. Because the seeds have already been planted. And so we have a good group of people that are very dedicated to the work, that are going and meeting with these people and starting to really raise up groups in these areas. Officially, we only have one group that can be a branch because it meets the criteria of 6 members and a priest, one of which is a priesthood member. But we have 5 different groups that we're meeting with. And right now, our problem is we don't have enough priesthood in all these areas to fulfill the needs of all 5 of these groups. And so we're trying to coordinate between the priesthood that we have and how we're going to provide ministry to those different areas. And like I said, because it costs so much to travel in the area, we're trying to work out, you know, how are we going to be able to, you know, work in these different areas without traveling so much. And so there's a lot of work, logistically speaking, on how we're going to continue that work down there. But they're very excited. And they're very excited for several different reasons. They're very excited because they've found a gospel that isn't centered on just their personal salvation. They found a gospel that isn't centered on, okay, I need to make sure that I obtain godhood or whatever else it might be. They found a gospel that they truly love each other. And they're striving to you know, help each other out. And they're striving to find out the needs of each other so they can assist each other. They're striving to be a people that, you know, if somebody has a problem and they don't have, you know, let's say funds, you know, they're working on those and making sure that everybody has funds for whatever they need. And they're making sure that you know, those people that have been hurt by, you know, just leaving the Community of Christ Church, their needs are met. And so they're very much working together. And probably the biggest example that we can get from them is, even though they're very, very small in numbers, you know, Chile, all of Chile has 16 million people, and in the Santiago area, there's about 6 million people. Now, even though there's only about 34 people that are in that area right now, they're very known in that area. They become a light on a hill. They become an example to those around them. Can we say that about our area? Can we say that about Independence? I mean, Independence has a population of, what, about 150,000? Are we even known in Independence? You know, we're going to be moving to Sibley, and Sibley only has a population of a couple hundred. How many of those people know who we are? And so we need to do a better job. You know, when we were meeting with one of the elders, he asked us, he goes, "Now you guys are from the Holy City, the New Jerusalem. How is it there?" You know, in his mind, the church, the center place is Independence. And it should be our responsibility to make a difference in Independence. And how have we done on that? How much of an influence do we have on the communities around us? I think that that's something that we really do need to work on. We need to strive to be that city that's set on a hill. We need to strive to have our light shine at all times. We need to make sure that we're an example to those around us. And that we truly are living the gospel. And the fact that we do care about each other. We care about the needs of each other. We care when somebody has a health concern, or somebody has maybe a financial concern, or somebody has an emotional concern. And we're in each other's, involved in each other's lives. As we look around the world around us, we see a world that wants that. We see a world that desires to have their needs met. And I'm not saying that you know, we need to be about giving out, you know, free handouts to whoever asks, but we need to be truly involved in each other's lives. So when there is a need, those can be filled. And we can truly live the conditions that are required for the building up of the kingdom. You know, scripture that's familiar to all of us, it comes from section 140, and it says, "The church is admonished again that all movements towards Zion and the gathering and temporalities connected therewith are within my law, and all things should be done in order. The work of preparation and the perfection of my saints go forward slowly. In Zionic conditions are no further away nor any closer than the spiritual conditions of my people justifies. But my word shall not fail, neither will my promises, for the foundation of the Lord standeth sure." And then from the Book of Mormon, from the Book of Alma, chapter 16, verse 136, he's talking to the people that are in that area, but I think it very much applies to our lives. And he says, "And as I said to you, that behold, you were compelled to be humbled, you were blessed. Do you not suppose that they are more blessed who truly humble themselves because of the word?" And so we basically have two choices. The first choice is we believe what the scriptures say and we follow them. And we become that light on a hill to those around us. Or the second, not so pleasant choice is we're compelled to be that people. Now, when Alma was talking in that area, what had happened was he was preaching amongst the Zoramites. And they weren't having much success. But there was a group of people that were poor. And because they were poor, the Zoramites wouldn't allow them to do their thing in the synagogues there. And so, because of that, they were more open to the Word of God. And so, because of their poorness, because of the situations that they were living in, they were compelled to be humble, and they were able to listen to the gospel. And so, being compelled is not fun. You know, those of you that have kids, it's more enjoyable for the kids if they do what they're supposed to do the first time and not be compelled to do it, because there's always consequences when you're compelled. And it's the same way with us. You know, when we don't do the things we're supposed to, there's a consequence. So I want each of us to think of that. And this next week, as we're going about our lives, think about how we can be an example to those around us. How can we, as a congregation, be an example to Sibley, where we're going to be moving? You know, Richard says we're going to be there for Christmas, so.
No, I gave it up.
Oh. Okay, I guess he gave it up for Christmas. So here soon we'll be in Sibley. And so I want us to think about that. What can we do as a congregation to be an example to Sibley? How can we go out there and be a positive example, of course, hopefully, that they can see something different? that they can see a group of people that truly love each other and are truly striving to be different. And then I want us to think about, as a church, how can we work in the communities we live? Whether it be Sibley, Independence, Blue Springs, wherever. How can we as a church be an example to those around us? How can we become better known to our community? Like I said, in Penaflor, population 90,000, 8 members, that branch is known in that city. How can we, with thousands of members in the Center Plus area, become known to the communities around us? And so I want us to think about that. And it's not just the 70s responsibility. This is each one of our responsibility. And so I want us to remember that as we go about this week, to think about, how can I be an example to those around us? How can we, as a church, truly be that city that's set on a hill? Not that we can be glorified, but that we can bring others to a knowledge of Jesus Christ and His kingdom.
Appreciate the comments that Nathan has given to us and the challenge that we all have, and pray that we would be able to recognize the options to be able to extend a missionary in hand and be an example to all that we work with, people that we contact every day, that each person that we come in contact with will notice a difference that we all have a responsibility with. Let's stand together and sing hymn number 241. We'll stand for this, and Josiah will dismiss our time together. 241.
Father, I thank you for this day. thank you for all the wonderful blessings that you've given to us. I thank you for this opportunity that we've had, Lord, to come together and gather as your people, to worship and praise you. I thank you for your servant Nathan, and for the mission trip that he was able to take, Lord, and for the testimonies that he was able to bring back, and for the challenge that he has given us, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we'd be an example of you in all places and in all times, Lord, that we might show your love to all those that we come in contact with, that we may lift them up to you to be strengthened and to be healed, Lord, from their sins. Pray, Lord, that you'd forgive us of our sins as we go from this place, that we might be whole, that we might be servants for you, to pray that we might seek first to build up your kingdom. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.